This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
It's your Daily Dose of Donna. Happy Monday, Monday, May 6th. Monday is the day that my kids are back at school after two long weeks of spring break. I finally got to take a shower before today's show. All positive things. The sun is out. We have Real Housewives of New Jersey to cover and a couple other big stories. I also missed you guys tremendously over the weekend. This is your Daily Dose of Donna. I love beans. I missed you. My cup runneth empty over the weekend when I don't get to hang out with you and just, you know, see what you're up to. I miss your commentary. I miss your jokes. No one in my real life is as funny as you guys, is the truth. I don't say that lightly. My real life people need to like really step it up in the reality TV comedy department. I mean, what am I supposed to talk to people about if not for Real Housewives or some Bravo drama or Bethany's mom? Like, what? It's like we speak different languages, right? Because we are in the Bravo cult. As you remember, we are in the Bravo cult. Yes, we do not support cult-like behavior, but we support the Bravo cult. It's why we're all here. It's how we found each other. It's my Love Beans. We're Love Bean International. Let's call ourselves something. Love Bean. Love Beans United. LBUs. Okay? We'll have to come up with something good. Welcome to everyone here. How was your weekend? I had a lovely weekend. I'm trying to think what we did. Oh, Friday we went to go see Fall Guy. If you're on the fence about seeing it, this is the Ryan Gosling movie with Emily Blunt. I'm going to admit something. I've never found Ryan Gosling attractive. I know. I'm not even like The Notebook, like none of them. Definitely not Barbie. This movie, there were definitely moments where I said, it's kind of cute. I have seen him on a red carpet with some filled up cheeks. Drunk Drawn did a post about it. And that was a lot. That was a lot. Andrew said that we should call ourselves the Tortured Love Bean Department. TTLD, Races Love Being Collective. These are good. These are good. So I don't personally find him very attractive, but this movie, he's very cute. So basically what this is, it's a love story. I mean, I say love story, but it's a homage to stunt women and men in the industry. And funny story, this one woman that I used to work out with, when I used to do kind of like my Tai Bo workouts for years and years and years, I believe she's 80 years old now, and she is a stunt woman. Her name is Sandy, and she is the most like spitfire 80-year-old, young at heart, body moves. Like, she's amazing. She's been in so many things that you've seen over the years, and I just think being in stunts is a crazy, crazy career. So the movie is really action-packed. It's really fun to watch. Like, the kids enjoyed it. Emily Blunt is stunning. And the soundtrack is, it's chef's kiss. So that was Friday night. Then we went to Islands for burgers. I ate two nights of burgers this weekend, you guys. And then Saturday we did like baseball for the kids. And then we went out for burgers again with other friends. And then yesterday was just a chill day. I watched a lot of Selling the OC. So I will tell you this, I'm not going to cover it yet in detail because it's 7 episodes, I believe, and I didn't finish it. And also, I want you guys to have a chance to watch it. So should I dedicate an episode maybe later this week for Selling the OC? Like, maybe, I feel like Thursdays are kind of slow because there's not really anything to cover TV-wise on Wednesday night. So let's maybe cover it on Thursday of this week. But so far, so good. Are you watching it? I mean, I love this show. It's just great eye candy. It's so pretty. I mean, the homes are phenomenal. They go down to San Diego. Now I guess there's a San Diego Oppenheim group. These two Oppenheim twins. It's Jason and who's the other one? Kevin? Who's the other Oppenheim brother? Jason and I can't remember because the other one is kind of like, kind of doesn't say anything on the show. Is that just me? He doesn't say anything. He doesn't like really add anything. Only Jason's the one that's like hooking up with, you know, all the different girls in every single series. Brent, thank you. Yeah, Brent's like the quiet. He's just there. He's just like the plus one. These two little guys. And I don't mean to say like little, but I mean, it's true. It's true. They're shorter than every single person in the office, all the women. And look at what they've created for themselves. It's crazy because growing up, like the Oppenheim group was not even a name, right? Here in LA, at least. Like I never heard of it. And then they just jumped on the scene. And it just goes to show that these reality shows really do help your career because I don't believe that they would be where they are with such a big OC branch and such a big, you know, San Diego branch now. And of course, here in Los Angeles on Sunset Boulevard. Like, I think the show has really taken them to the next level, just like Mauricio is hoping, right? Mauricio is buying Beverly Hills, although he doesn't really need it because his name is everywhere around town. But this whole real estate world, I'm really concerned how they're going to continue to have content because there's no inventory here in California. Like, at least in Los Angeles, nothing is being sold. You know, the prices are so high, it's impossible to buy a house simply because of interest rates. But I guess if you're in the $20 million market, like there are people out there that pay $20 million houses all cash. Those are not me. They are J-Lo and Ben. Speaking of, did you guys hear about the Tom Brady roast last night? So I haven't watched it, and this is not something I am interested in normally. I like a roast. I think roasts are funny, but Tom Brady, I would never think twice. But I saw so many clips last night that everyone was making me want to go and watch it. And I think that it looked so, so funny. A lot of my friends said, you don't even need to know a lot about him to think it's funny. I guess Kim Kardashian had a moment where she, number one, she looked absolutely stunning. I think Kim Kardashian's gorgeous. But she got booed. And I don't think that's funny. I actually feel so bad for anyone that gets booed anytime they get booed. Like, it's just an uncomfortable, horrible situation. Now, she did make a joke about, oh, dating Tom Brady. And then I did see one clip where Tom Brady kind of snapped back at her and said, Kim was very nervous to be here tonight, not because of this, but because she's leaving her four kids alone with her dad. Now, that is funny. For real, like for real, guys. Imagine your baby daddy is Kanye. Have you ever, I mean, Bethany is so lucky that she has Jason Hoppe. Like there's so many horror stories, but Kanye could possibly be the worst of them all. The worst of them all, right? In terms of baby daddies and like, hey kids, you have to go over to daddy's house. Make sure to just wear a trash bag, but it has to be tight and you can't let your arms out of it. Oy. Anyway, so it looked really funny. Now, Ben Affleck was written up about a few different times because he apparently spoke. I'm going to watch it later, I think. But he spoke and he was very what people try to kind of say as it looked like he had partaken in the pasta. Now, did you guys watch it? Did you think that? Apparently, according to Daily Mail, I saw an article that fans were just savage over it. They basically just said he was on another level. He was really kind of almost like cracked out, it felt like a little bit. I don't think that he is actually, I don't know. I mean, I've got some stories that I just found out, but I don't know exactly. I just think like being Ben Affleck has got to be just the craziest lifestyle ever. Yes, this article says fans savage Ben Affleck after his surprise appearance at Tom Brady's Netflix roast. They say, what happened to his face? So apparently there was a number of awkward jokes and a lengthy rant about social media trolls, with many on Twitter branding his set, the worst of the night. Even Affleck joked himself that he probably wouldn't work again tonight before addressing Bill Belichick, who's the coach. Many fans took to social media believing that he had recently gotten a facelift before the event on Sunday. Ben Affleck's just an interesting guy, you guys. He can't really do anything without getting attacked in the media, but he does look so unhappy, right? Like, in general, if you could think of the most unhappy looking celebrity out and about, it's Ben Affleck. But he also, like, I hate to say it, you don't have to be in the media. You don't have to be in the public. You don't have to be walking in paparazzi spots. I think he brings it on himself. And I was talking to someone yesterday who's very much in the know with the two of them. He works in the industry. And I was saying, and by the way, when I say the two of them, I mean Ben and Matt Damon. And I was saying, it's so interesting, you know, think about like nature versus nurture, right? When you have two kids and two of them raised in the same home in the same way, went such different paths in their lives. And I always look at Ben Affleck and Matt Damon that way too, because they won that Oscar in their early 20s. So imagine how young they were when they won the Oscar for Good Will Hunting. That's such a huge deal. Like, think about that. Now that I'm 42, 43, like 20s, oh my gosh. And yet, yes, they of course were raised differently and they had different genes, et cetera, but they essentially kind of like came up together and were on the same path. And they both really, I mean, they're both successful and they're both very close, but they couldn't be more different, right? Matt seems like a legit, like a good guy. Doesn't usually have any bad stories about him kind of floating. Ben Affleck's always got bad press, always got anger around him. He's got drama. He's like, he's wrapped in all this like Hollywood shit with J-Lo. Matt Damon married like a very sweet woman. I think she was a waitress and she's out of Hollywood and they have four kids and they live this like, from what I see, a very happy, you know, out of Hollywood lifestyle. And I think Matt is a better actor than Ben, in my opinion. I personally think Matt Damon is 10 times better than Ben Affleck as an actor and likable. He's so likable, Matt Damon. Anyway, okay, let's move on, because we've got a few things I want to talk about today. But before we do that, I would like to talk to you about the sponsor of today's show. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So if you guys know, with the world right now being where it is, and I'm going to get into that in just a second, because I have to thank so many of you that joined Patreon over the weekend. It's on another level. But there's a lot going on in the world, a lot of heavy stuff, right? We've got health stuff. We got foreign affairs. We've got money and financial and inflation. We have all these like crazy things. You have a lot of stressors, right? We all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, which I've never known to do, like I've never kept anything bottled up. I should probably start bottling shit up more, because I just don't have a filter. I just say what's on my mind, which gets me in trouble often. I read your reviews. I get it. I don't think before I speak too much, but I really have to, and something's in my eye. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. And so therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. Obviously, as you guys know, I'm a big therapy proponent. I've talked about this over and over. I am a big fan of talking about your problems. You know, ideally, you don't only rely on your mom or your sister or your best friend, and you have someone that's kind of outside of your life and they can look in from an outside perspective. So consider giving BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Donna to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. Remember, HELP.com/Donna, DANA. Thanks, BetterHelp. All right. That reminds me, because I'm going to get it off my chest. I talked about it on my stories. I think it was on Friday morning, just how everything that's happening in the world is affecting me so much. And I'm really torn. Like, do I talk about the fact that I'm Jewish? Do I not? I don't want to bring this. I don't want to make this about politics. This is a pop culture show. I want us all to just have fun here and laugh and lighten up. But at the same time, like, if you see something, say something. And I have a very, very large audience here on Daily Dose and in my Instagram and stuff. And so I just pointed out that for those of you that have stuck by me through this crazy last 6 months since October 7th, when things went haywire for anyone that is involved in any way with Israel and Palestine, I appreciate everyone that has stuck by me, that has supported me through it via positive reviews on Instagram. I'm sorry, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, the 5 stars. It matters more than you even know. Especially when you get like a barrage of anger towards you and your ratings go down, it's really important for people to find me. And then of course to subscribe over here on YouTube and to, you know, subscribe on Patreon. I've got a lot of fun content over there. It's just, it's everything for me. And I want to believe that I can talk about my life and not feel like people have to, can hate me for it. You know what I mean? Now, that being said, I want to apologize. Get it? I actually know how to apologize because I said something last week that was too far for me. And I knew it in the moment. In the moment, I think it was on Friday's show. I knew it in the moment. I said, oh, why did I do that? And I even said it on the show. I said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And what I did was I talked about a physical aspect of Carl Radke's mom. And I regretted it instantly. And I regretted it all weekend long. So I apologize. I don't ever want to feel like I am focusing too much on the physical side. And if I do, it's just because I feel so like open and free with you guys and I just kind of go off. But that's not the most important thing. So I want to tell you that I apologize sincerely for saying anything negative about her physicality, although I am going to talk negatively about what she's done because personality, I think, can be spoken up about. And we're going to talk about that because the Summer House After Show was on finally. So let's get into that. The Summer House After Show on Peacock and BravoTV.com is, well, all these after shows are always better than the show. I believe the Vanderpump Rules After Show is better than the show. Same with the Summer House After Show. The reason why is I don't know when they shoot it. It's definitely before the reunion, but it's way after they shoot the show. But they shoot all the after shows in one sitting. So I don't know how they're like, if they're just showing a little clip and then saying, talk about it, a clip, talk about it. So in this after show, we're talking about last week's episode, which if you guys remember, it was such a big episode where Carl spoke to Lindsay finally and opened up about his conversation with Lou, his stepdad, and his mom. And, you know, Lindsay said something that I thought was really interesting. I felt really bad. So Lindsay, the reason why I think this is hitting me so hard for Lindsay is that she was so clear that she was looking forward to having an extra mother, you know, like a new mom in her life. She didn't have a strong relationship with her mother. She had a strong relationship with her stepmom her whole life, but her mom had her when she was very young and they weren't close. And I think anyone that, you know, doesn't have a strong relationship with their parents, if they meet someone who has a great set of parents, it's kind of nice to feel like they're kind of your parents now, especially if you're entering into a marriage. So I think that part is really, really hard for Lindsay, that she was finally trusting Sharon and assuming that she was a loving mother to her. And then to find out that she wasn't supporting the marriage prior to them getting married. So what is interesting, do you guys remember a few seasons ago? And I almost thought about looking for the episode, but I didn't actually get around to it. But I'm going to say it was like Carl, I think, was already sober. Yeah, I think Carl had already just gotten sober. It was like the first year after everything went down. And Lindsay and Carl were besties, and they hadn't actually like started dating yet. And I think Lindsay really liked him or had feelings for him. And you know, wanted to do something nice for Carl. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but they were in the city and Lindsay brought Sharon to New York. Like Lindsay orchestrated Sharon, Carl's mom, to come to New York to surprise Carl at lunch. And she came in and Carl comes into lunch and he sees Lindsay and Sharon sitting there. And he is so like, just so emotional over it and so grateful for Lindsay and so happy. And so I truly don't believe that Lindsay was like a bad person to Sharon ever. I think she was always really sweet and kind from what we saw. It's not like Sharon said, listen, Lindsay's been a bitch to me. Like, we haven't seen any of that. And what's interesting is Lindsay says on the after show that after Carl called off the engagement, she never, ever heard from Sharon or Lou again. Okay, Michelle knows everything about Bravo history. She's like a walking encyclopedia, and she says it was season 3 and he was not sober then. Okay. That's why I've got my dosers here. Season 3, he was not sober then. But I truthfully believe that that's got to be the worst part about it, is that Sharon, I think Sharon lacks a spine, and she just wants to make sure that Carl's okay and happy. And that's fine. But I remember I was in a 5-year relationship before I met Lance. And when we broke up, I was really close with his parents, really close. When we broke up, his parents called me. And it was like the most emotional, sad conversation, because it was like a goodbye. But I wasn't even his fiance. So I don't know. I feel like that's kind of sad that she didn't even say, listen, Lindsay, I love you. I know that it didn't work out with you and Carl. I'm so sorry. Now, that being said, we also haven't seen the last 4 episodes. There's 4 more episodes of this shit until Carl calls off the wedding. So maybe we have something that's going to come up. I don't know. Lots of you guys are very, very anti-Lindsay in the comments today. I'm shocked. They're not passing my vibe check. And here's the thing. I'm not pro-Lindsay in general. Like, I haven't really been over the years, because I've seen this horrible side about her. But in terms of the Carl-Lindsay dynamic, I really do think Carl just like was too scared. He was just too scared. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And bless Carl, because like he just hasn't figured it out. But he was too scared to hurt her feelings. He was too scared to upset her. He was too scared. But you can't enter a marriage where you're scared of your wife, right? Like, it wouldn't have worked. And you also can't enter a marriage where you are annoyed with your husband. Like, she was annoyed with him and he was scared of her. How is this ever going to work? And they weren't having sex. Like, there's 3 major, major issues there and red flags to a relationship. You're not having sex. I'm scared of you. I'm annoyed by you. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Now, meanwhile, I saw a video on social media. On social media, you know, those social medias on the interwebs, on Instagram. And it was Kyle and Carl promoting that they're coming out to Los Angeles for some sort of event. And no, I'm not going, because it's on the West Side. And if you guys know anything about LA, going to the West Side is basically like me jumping on a plane and going to New York. And doesn't look like Kyle Cook still has his mullet. I think Kyle has removed the mullet. Maybe he's almost close to being a dad and moving out to the suburbs. We'll have to see. So then let's keep going about Summer House, the after show, because I thought this was interesting. Paige talking about the Carl scene. I mean, the Craig scene, how Craig said, I would like to have a baby by the time I'm 40. I'm 35 and I would like to have the baby by the time I'm 40. And Paige says in the Summer House after show, she goes, that's really nice. Cool. When you have ovaries, you can have a say on the timeline. And she's not even like being cute about it. Like, I love Paige and Carl and Craig. You know, I love Paige and Craig so much. But this was pretty insane to watch, because she was like, there is absolutely no way that he has any say over when I'm going to have a baby. I'm the one that's going to have the baby. And by the way, I understand this 100%. Like, Lance's life hardly changed when I got pregnant. He still went off to work. He still went out with his friends. He still looked the same. I was the one that was going all crazy emotional, not sleeping, you know, all the side effects from it. Plus, after the baby was born, Lance went back to work like a week later. And I was like, home with that baby. So I get it. Trust me, I get it. But it was just the way she said it. It wasn't like, listen, I love Craig so much and I really don't want to lose him, and so we're going to try to figure something out. It was more just like, I don't give a crap what he wants. It's not about him. She said, we're going to have to compromise and go along with my timeline. So we'll have to see where this goes. They posted a cute little TikTok together over the weekend. I mean, they're very, very cute and very in love, but she mentioned one thing, like, are you worried that I'm going to waste your time after all of this? And he's like, yeah, kind of. So am I. I really, really, really hope. Oh, a lot of you guys think that Kyle's mullet was cut at the reunion. Interesting. Paige's comments were cold. I'm losing hope for her and Craig, Sarah says. I'm interested. I mean, I love Paige. I love her. I think she's seriously hilarious. If you listen to the Giggly Squad, like, she's just a delight to listen to. I think she and Craig have so much fun together. I think they stare at each other's bodies and faces and are just like, wow, you're stunning. Like, I'm obsessed with you. I think they love being a social media couple and like an influencer couple. I think they love being, you know, a TV couple, and people just adore them and love them. But I wonder if, just say, all of the fame was taken away, all of the followers, all of the fandom, all of that, and you just had a really, really gorgeous girl in New York and a really gorgeous guy in Charleston, would they stay together? I don't know. I mean, is love enough? That's what we should call today's episode. Is love enough? I don't know. All right, let's move on. So Ariana from Vanderpump Rules, obviously. Is there another Ariana on like the Bravo world? There's Adriana. Ariana just booked another month for Chicago, the musical. In the month of August, she's going back. I think it's August 1st to the 27th. She's going back to Chicago, the musical. So this makes me think a few things. Number one, did she get offered that once Vanderpump Rules was officially put on pause, and then all of a sudden her schedule cleared up and she was available? Or was this offer already on the table, and then she said to Vanderpump Rules, I'm not available for the month of August, and that's why they put it on pause? So which came first, the chicken or the egg? And when is she shooting Love Island? I believe that's earlier in the year is when Love Island happens. Like, I want to say they shoot in like the June months, around that time. So I wonder when she is actually going, but I don't see her wanting to go back to Vanderpump after this. Like, why? She would be, I think Vanderpump's such a step down for Ariana now. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what would be the benefits other than a paycheck of her going back to Vanderpump? I guess to promote something about her, right? Have another, like, have a TV show that shoots in your restaurant. That's an important part. But other than that, it feels like a step down for her. So I was talking to Scott. He helps manage my show. He works with a bunch of the different, like a bunch of the podcasts that you guys listen to and watch every day. We all work together. So Scott texts this morning and he's like, I think she should just kind of jump on over to the new Roni. And I was thinking to myself, that may not be a bad idea. If Ariana decided to jump off Vanderpump Rules but still wanted to be in some sort of capacity for a show, and she lives in New York City, and do we think she's going to stay in New York City, or do we think she'll go back to LA? She has to be back in LA if she has something about her, right? She can't manage a restaurant from New York unless she's fully bi-coastal. But what if she jumped on the new Roni and was like besties with Brynn? I could totally see it. I think Lindsay should go on Roni. That, to me, would be casting. Okay, Lucy wants Ariana on Summer House with Lindsay and Kyle in the gang. That feels like a step down for her too. I think if she, like, Roni feels like a step up because it's like very, very professional women, like successful professional women, older. But Lindsay would be a great addition for Roni, especially if the rumors are true about, you know, her starting a family soon, which no one has confirmed. So we'll see. Her boyfriend, now a lot of people, the comments were really, really ruthless. Someone posted how Ariana posted, I think it was Friday or Saturday, I can't remember, a picture of her and her boyfriend Danny that we met on the show this week, kissing. And she said, happy birthday to the most handsome man I know. Something like that. And the comments were, you guys, they were rough. Rough. Number one, people are horrible. People are horrible online. Like, we've decided this, right? I think you would be really, like, I mean, it's the comments on social media cannot be indicative of who we are in real life, right? I have never in my life, unless it's like, well, Let's stick with the reality TV stuff. I've never in my life commented anything on any reality TV star's post, calling them like an horrible, disgusting, awful human being, fat, ugly, mean, cold, bitchy, you know, whatever. Like, who are these people that do that online? It's shocking to me. So she did post this, and you know, isn't it what they say? Like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. She thinks he's beautiful. That's what matters. She said, "Happy birthday to the most handsome man I know, who always lets me have the first and the last bite." Someone commented, "Lala coming for that middle bite." That's hysterical. Everyone's saying happy birthday, all the reality people, all the people in their world. Everyone's saying so happy, so happy, so happy. Okay, people are happy for them. Listen, I'm very happy for them. It doesn't matter. Like, I really think she's smart to go for a man like him, because and whether it's a rebound or not, he loves her. He treats her like a queen. And when you're with a Tom Sandoval for 9 years, you don't even know that that's possible. You don't even know it's possible that someone out there can treat you that well. So I think she is in a really good space. I just wonder if it's going to last, but it's so cute while it's going. Watch she ends up having kids with him. Even though she said she never wanted kids, but like, watch, that's the one that she's like, I want a baby Danny with that long hair and those muscles. He's not my type. I've said that before. He has golden retriever energy. I think he's got a phenomenal body, and I think he treats her like a king. But his face is so like happy and like doe-eyed, and that to me is not really my type. I like a little bit more of like a little bad boy, just a touch, just a dab. All right, let's move on to the city of bad boys. Legit, the city of bad boys. Oh my God, what are we going to do, you guys? What are we going to do about Real Housewives in New Jersey? Episode one, and I'm like, what the fuck is, what are we watching? It feels like a theater production of, a caricature production of life in New Jersey. Someone tell me, if you watched Real Housewives of New Jersey yesterday and found yourself like loving it, or did you just watch it and you're like, Now I titled this episode Real Housewives of New Jersey Talk to Teresa's Hand, because all we saw was this. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Rachel, your husband, my husband's a gentleman. Her hand in our face. I felt slapped. Over and over and over. Let's get into it. Ooh, lots of comments. I haven't watched Real Housewives. Boycotting Jersey. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. I fell asleep halfway through. Uh-oh. All of this drama that they've kind of created with the bloggers and the paying the, you know, all about TRH people allegedly, and the Melissa's old nose girl allegedly, Teresa and Jen behind the scenes, like, it really has soured me on the whole situation, because now I feel like we're watching a very orchestrated, produced situation. Leslie says maybe Teresa had a fresh manicure. She's like, get in my face. Do you like my nails? Okay. The episode starts off. You know, there were some cute things. I will tell you something. I love the family scenes. If we could just watch Teresa and her daughters. Love the family scenes. Rachel and her little daughters and the grandma. So cute. We had a whole scene with Rachel Fuda, the Fudas. Who knew John Fuda was going to be the newest star? John Fuda is all in this episode. But Rachel Fuda invites her whole family over to their house with the little kids. She has a 16-year-old, of course. And then it's her husband's 16-year-old. And she has grandma and mom come over. And grandma, I love Anona. Is it No-No or Nona? I love a good grandma on these shows. In fact, Jen Fessler's mom and aunt, the twins, give them a show. Marge Sr., give her a show. Like, I just want the grandmas. Nono, Nona. And then I want, who else do we love? Is there any other like parents of on the show this season? Just love when we get the oldies in there. It's just so fun. So they have this cute little scene where they're, you know, having lunch and Rachel is giving Nona all the gossip and Nona's on it. She knows who has had a nose job. She called Jen Aiden nose job, which was interesting considering it's very clear Rachel Fudas had a nose job, correct? I'm not making that up. I think it's actually like confirmed. So it was very interesting. Nona was like super into the story and Rachel is explaining that she was approached by Jen Fessler's husband to throw Jen a 55th birthday party. Then we go on over to Melissa's new home. She's in her new house finally. She looks great. And she's with her daughter, Antonia, who has a bedroom and a closet to die for. May I have Antonia's closet in my life? And by the way, let's talk about this really fast. They're packing for college. I noticed in Antonia's closet, let's like take a breather here. Let's take a pause. I need to know from you guys. Closets. Do we fold jeans or do we hang jeans? Do we fold t-shirts or do we hang t-shirts? Do we fold leggings or do we fold sweatshirts or do we hang them? Everything was folded in her closet. Everything. All the jeans were folded. Maybe she just has so much space that you can do that. Really interesting. I want someone to come and redo my closet. Like I want the home edit in my closet. If you're here in Los Angeles and you offer some sort of home organization situation and you would like a free sponsorship on Daily Dose of Donna for a barter, I will talk to you. Come on over. So they're packing up for college. And meanwhile, shockingly, so is Teresa's daughter, Gabriella. Now, let me tell you. This is the one part of Teresa that I love. I love her as a mother and I love her squeal. And I hate to say this, but there's a part of me that just like kind of, I mean, I can't tell if I like or don't like that squeal when she sees her kids. It's always this. She's getting emotional seeing Gabriella pack herself up. You have a very different situation. Antonia's like, Mom, you can do this, right? And Gabriella's like, I'm making my own boxes. I'm doing everything. Call Teresa anything you want, but she has raised four incredible daughters. It's amazing how grounded they all seem. Like they just seem like good girls. And I love that we've seen them grow up from the very beginning. Like I've seen them grow up from, you know, little babies. So cute. So Gabriella is getting ready for college. Oh, there was like an emotional moment where Teresa said that when I went away, meaning jail, every single day, Gabriella would write me an email every single day. And she was the only one that did that. These are the things that moms don't forget. And sometimes it's so interesting. Sometimes it's the kid that doesn't like outwardly show emotion or love is the one that like really, really loves you the most. Not to say that about Gabriella, but I just think like it's so cute. Then we go back to Melissa's and Joe's house and, you know, they're talking about packing up and of course, Joe and his piercing blue eyes, which, by the way, are beautiful. I will say, Joe is, he's not my type, but he's got a gorgeous set of eyes. And of course, she's like, you've done this before. You've moved someone into college before. And he's like, yes, my niece. Because of course, like they always have to bring up anything they've ever done for Gia or for any of the nieces. Like it's so interesting. Of course, this is their opportunity to kind of mention Teresa without really mentioning Teresa. They say that they're going to go to the same party, but they're not, you know, they're not worried about seeing her. They're going to just walk right in. Then we go over to Teresa's house and they're having family dinner. Now, I want to believe that this is how their life is, that the girls are so happy that Louis Jr. is so, he's so good looking, her son-in-law. And he's like, Teresa, you never fail to cook a good meal. Like it is so interesting. It felt so orchestrated, like so scripted. Listen, John, when people come over here and shoot the show, okay, you have to come. You'll have to tell me what a good cook I am, okay? I make the sauce. So they have this conversation about how lovely dinner is, and then Louis is like, "I love my family Sunday supper." They start going through the wedding album. Perfect timing, right? And someone says, your hair. I think it was Louis. He's like, your hair. That's all I saw. So they're having, you know, a lovely Sunday night conversation, talking about this party. Everyone's talking about Jen Fessler's party. Like, this is the thing. This is how these things work. It's so edited. It's so produced. You guys talk about the party. Now you guys talk about the party, and we're going to just go back and forth between the two camps. Teresa says to Louis, I'm in charge. You follow my lead. You follow my lead. Now, Louis mentions in this conversation that he reached out to John Fuda because they had some big drama over at the reunion. And I would like to, you know, a flashcard. I want like a pop-up. Remember VH1 pop-up video? I want a pop-up on the screen that to be like, in case you forgot, Louis's mad at John Fuda because of A, B, and C. John Fuda feels this way about Louis. And meanwhile, Dolores has said A, B, like, I can't remember all this shit. My brain is not equipped to remember 15 shows and 15 seasons of each show. I have no idea. Mark says, you didn't hear this from me, but I heard that Donna was not even invited to Jen's party. You know what? I was, but I just didn't feel like talking to Teresa. I didn't want the hand in my face, so I skipped out on it. But I sent a beautiful gift. Beautiful. A guitar. In fact, Jen Fessler is playing my guitar. Which is funny, actually, because in the next scene, we go to Jen Fessler's house. Beautiful home. I think I love Jen Fessler's home. I love her vibe. I think Jen's gorgeous, by the way. But man, does she look like a different person than last season. It's shocking. Like a complete different person. And she, when I met her at BravoCon, so that was November, at the Four Seasons, and chatted with her for like an hour in the bathroom. She looks just like this. I mean, she's stunning, beautiful, but a pencil. She's so... I mean, and she admits it. She looks so different than last season. She's turning 55. Marge comes over with her gorgeous legs. I mean, these women are all just so, like, they're just, they're on the O train. We know that. And, you know, Marge pulls out her drink. What is it called? Like, soiree. The famous drink, soiree. Let's drink soirees and sit outside and nibble on a piece of cracker. They go outside, they sit down, they start talking about how she's, you know, Marge is like, Teresa is dead to me. She's dead to me. Okay? She's dead to me. Jen says, and then Marge is, of course, set up to be like, we should go out to dinner on Tuesday night. Oh, that's nice. Okay. So they've now set it up that Jen is going to be at the surprise party that she doesn't even know she's going to be at. But Jen is asking some questions about Teresa, and Marge is like, do not talk to me about her. Do not mention me to her. I want nothing to do with it. And she really is serious about it. So then we come back and we are at dinner. We're at this beautiful Italian restaurant. I forget what it's called. And we're with Red Louis and Orange Teresa, and then Dolores, who looks stunning. I mean, I think Dolores is the prettiest of them all. Don't you guys think? Like, I think Dolores is stunning. And Polly. And they have this Italian dinner. And I'm curious from you guys. Have you ever heard of anyone that is violently, violently allergic and gets ill every time you eat Italian food? I'm like, is it just lactose intolerance? Like, what's going on there? He's like, he says he cannot eat Italian food. It makes him ill. She says, Dolores says, Paul, I think it's mental. What do you think that is? Is there a seasoning in the food that he can't eat? He's eating meatballs. It's not like he's eating, you know, some big Alfredo. Thought it was an interesting situation. Right? Makes you wonder, like, what's going on there? So they end up... they end up chatting, you know, during the dinner about their trips and about this vacation and about people getting married and getting together. And Dolores says, you know, well, we can't get married because he's still married. We can't get engaged until the divorce is final, which doesn't sound like it's ever going to be final. Is it a final now? I mean, is it done? I don't know. Anyway, they seem to have a good time and they're enjoying themselves and, you know, they're talking about kids going away to college. And of course, Teresa's kind of doing her planting about, you know, the party and talking about John Fuda. Louis says, I tried to reach out to John Fuda to clear the air. And he responded, no, I guess I'll just talk to you at Jen's party. And Teresa's like, we don't do that. Okay. We don't do that. You don't do what? You don't talk to people at parties? Like, John Fuda honestly should have just had a conversation with Louis. But at the same time, he didn't owe him a conversation at that time. But anyway, Louis is, I mean, he's getting redder as the scene goes on, by the way, if you notice. Like, pause the Italian scene at the beginning of the dinner and then towards the end. In fact, I think Louis may have some sort of allergic reaction to Italian food. Gets red in the face. Maybe that's the drinking. I don't know. Something's going on. There's a lot going on. So Margaret, Dolores says, will you say hi to your sister? And she goes, no, definitely not. No. And then we find out that apparently Frank Sr. said that before the reunion, and there's so much reunion talk, like we're cutting back to that whole reunion, the entire episode, which is why the pop-up video would be helpful. Because it would be like, remember at the reunion, this happened. And apparently there was this big, you know, everyone get together at Margaret's house before the reunion so we can kind of like plan our attack. I'm not surprised with these Jersey people. I mean, the show is not a show. The show is their life. This life, you know how they say, you know, you work so that you can play or you work so that you can eat. I believe they're doing the show so they can live. Like, and it's not even about finances. It's just, this is their life. They live for the show. And it's a lot. In fact, it's too much. Okay. So then we're back from the next commercial break and we have everyone kind of getting ready to go to this party. And Jen Aiden, that's someone I didn't miss. I'm just going to be honest. I didn't miss her energy. I didn't miss her vibe. I didn't miss her hands. I didn't miss any of her energy. Like, she's just not my peeps, right? There's certain people that are your people. She's not her. They're getting ready to go to the dinner, and apparently Louis had a business meeting out of town. What does Louis do for business? Someone tell me. And Jen Aiden's husband's in surgery. So Jen and Teresa, the Dos Amigas, are, you know, driving to this party alone. Everyone's showing up. Everyone looks phenomenal. Everyone's excited to see each other. Rachel Fuda is just walking around saying, we got to get drunk. We got to get shit-faced. We got to drink. Everyone's saying, let's get drunk tonight. Like, everyone is out for partying. And I thought it was, wow, this is a Tuesday. They really enjoy these Tuesday night parties. Now we have Jackie, who I think is most stunning. I mean, she's gorgeous, don't you think? Jackie's walking into the party and they have some sort of interesting connection with a bug. And I had to rewatch this scene a couple times because I thought it was so interesting that why editors decided to keep this in. Like, everyone had that clip of them walking into the restaurant, but Jackie, there was probably a lot of seconds that they could have used before and after this bug, but there was a moment where Jackie's husband was like, get away. And she was like, whoa, move the bug. I was like, oh, okay. That's their entrance. Got the bug. So they come into the, you know, everyone's starting to come in. And then finally, of course, the guys are getting together. This is such a show about the men. The men are such an important character in this. And I kind of love it because you don't see this in many of the other shows. They try to do this on Beverly Hills. They try to do this on OC, but none of the men get along with the Jersey men, right? So we've got Fuda and we've got Gorga and we've got Marge's husband, Joe, and we got Joe, right? We got all of them and they're all standing around and they're drinking and they're having fun together. And then all of a sudden Teresa walks in and it's super uncomfortable because she goes over and says hi to the guys, but doesn't say hi to her brother, which I just can never get over with. It's like, it's really a uncomfortable thing. Then we have this beautiful, you know, lesbian action where Melissa Gorga goes up to Dolores and we see a close-up about maybe 10 seconds of ass grabbing. Melissa's like, wow, this butt. Oh my God, your butt. And I was close. I was in Dolores's butt. My eyes were there. And I thought to myself, I'm the next Kyle Richards. I love Dolores's ass. I mean, I think she's beautiful. So of course the guys are all drinking. Polly's there, you know, whatever. And then, I don't know, Teresa and Jen walking into the party, it's giving very Romy and Michelle vibes, like Romy and Michelle Italian style. Jersey style. Evan was there. Evan was at the party. Evan was drinking. Everyone was having fun. And so we had this really awkward moment. And then, of course, Jen Fessler walks in And everyone's so excited. Surprise! And she's freaking the F out because she's like, I had a feeling a few people were going to be there. I didn't think my entire family was going to be there, which I thought was really sweet. I mean, guys, I'm just going to let you know that when I am 55, I would like a surprise party, okay? And all of you are invited. Every single 411 of you. And everyone else that's listening on the audio version or watching the replay. Hashtag replay crew. You guys are all invited to my surprise party, but I don't want to know. Okay. So just talk to Lance. I mean, when I'm 55, I better look like Jen Fessler. I'm just saying. I want to play guitar. I want to have a floral dress like that. Anyway, everyone's having fun. Jen Fessler's sitting on a bar taking shots. Everyone's drinking. They're partying it up. And then we have some weird interchange between Polly and the guys. And the guys are really going at Polly. And Dolores can tell Polly's getting, he's getting sweaty. He's getting even redder than he normally does. He's getting gluten allergic. Like he's getting really up. And all the guys are saying to him, like, so tell us about Louis. Where's your man? Where's your boy? Where's Louis? And Polly's like, well, he's away. He's not here. And then John Food is like, I'm surprised. I'm surprised. I thought he wanted to talk. He's not interested. Where is he? Where is he? Now, I'm going to say something about John Fudo. We have all heard the stories now about Melissa's old nose and what was happening behind the scenes. How Teresa and Jen were talking about a double-sided dildo and these like rumors about John Fudo and how he was the biggest drug dealer in Bergen County, which is going to come up. It's all, I want John Fudo to take a step back. I say, John Fudo follows me on Instagram and I met him at BravoCon too. Kind, lovely, wonderful. I want him to stand back. I want him to take a back seat. I think he thinks he's a housewife. And I worry a little bit. He's loving the drama. He's in the drama. He released a press release last night on Instagram after the show. An actual press release. Not just a statement, not just like a story. A press release, like to whom it may concern. Like release on all, in all the places. So they're having this kind of like heated conversation and Dolores is like, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I can see his body language. I'm pulling him. I'm pulling him. Remember, Dolores is like, she's, where's the pants in that? You're done talking, she says. And everyone's looking. And it's all editing. You know that, right? Like Dolores walks out with Polly and all of a sudden every single person from every side of the room is like, and no one probably even noticed. They just walked out there. So, you know, food is getting really heated. Don't tell me to shut the F up. Don't tell me with his mustache. Don't tell me to shut up. Fudo, it's not about you. It's about Jen. Now, Rachel, bless her heart, because she is a newbie, season two, and she comes up against Teresa. She's not scared of her. She's like, where's your husband? Where's your husband, huh? And she, well, he had a meeting in Florida. Oh, wow, how convenient. And she goes, I know gentlemen. I'm married to a gentleman. Okay. I'm married to a gentleman. And Rachel goes, Teresa, which I thought was the best. Teresa. She goes, you don't know my husband. Okay. He's a gentleman, not like your husband, who is the biggest drug dealer in Bergen County. Teresa's doing TikTok moves. Teresa and Ariana Bierman should hang out. Okay. Now, Teresa goes, he called my husband and said that we could share a lot because we were both in jail together. And Rachel was like, okay, let's get my husband over here. Let's get him. Now, Teresa and Jen are like, no, we're done. But we're going to stop by this candy table on the way out. And she takes a bag, a little baggie, and she keeps picking up Starburst. And I don't know if this was an editing choice, but we saw about four times that she picked up a thing of Starburst, a whole pack of Starburst, and dropped it right outside the bag. So the floor was littered in Starburst, and Teresa went home with, you know, one peppermint. Teresa, you would be a horrible trick-or-treater. Get it together. So then Rachel's like, oh, John, go. Come on, Teresa. Tell my husband. Let's create a big scene. Tell my husband. And Fudo's like, you know, what are you talking about, Teresa? Say it to my face. She goes, it's on social media. It's out there. It's all out there. And they are going on and on. And then John is talking and Teresa doesn't stop talking, but John also doesn't stop talking. And then he goes, I can't have a conversation with you if you don't listen to me when I talk. And she's like, well, I can't have a conversation with you if you don't listen to me when I talk. I mean, we've talked about this before. So many seasons, Teresa cannot argue with anyone. Teresa is Alexia in Miami. Both of them can speak, but they can't listen. They can't stop. They can't say, interesting. What up? It's interesting. And I hear you. They've never once been able to say that. And that's how the episode ends. So we're already starting Jersey strong in the sense that everyone is already coming in with an agenda, with bullet points, with meetings, with behind the scenes, talking to the bloggers, talking to these people, getting, press in certain things. It's too calculated. It lacks organic anything. And I'm not feeling it, but I'll still watch it for you guys. I'll still watch it. Anyway, I just wanted that candy table. That's all I cared about. You know, I take candy seriously, as you guys know. All I care about is that candy table. I'm like, F the drinking, F the faces and the parties and the F the fight. Just give me the candy and let me go home. Think about how much fun they would have eating all that candy in the car. And think about Teresa eating her one Starburst on the way home because she was like, where's my Starburst? John Fuda took my Starburst. I guarantee you Teresa got in that car and she goes, someone stole my candy. Who took the candy? Because she dropped it all on the floor. But then she sat and she's like, I can't with that. That John Fuda, just wait until he sees what's coming. It's on the social medias. It was fun to watch. You guys, I love you. Happy Monday. I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow on Tuesday. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I hope you had an incredible weekend. I missed you and I'll talk to you mañana. Don't forget to subscribe and like this video. Thank you. Bye, guys.